The comments and views expressed on The More Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Moore, The More Show, or this radio station and its affiliates or sponsors.
Broadcasting from Cardiff and across the world on the internet, I'm Kevin Moore and welcome to The More Show. For the next hour, I will cover subjects of an alternative variety that most shows do not touch. On today's show, I'm joined by Bob Chapman, author of theinternationalforecaster.com. So stay tuned, enjoy, and I'll be right back.
Missed a show or a guest? Want to know more about The More Show and upcoming guests? Then log on to www.themoreshow.co.uk. You're listening to The More Show, and here's your host, Kevin Moore.
Bob Chapman became a stockbroker in 1960, retiring in 1988. For 18 of those years, he owned his own brokerage firm and was probably the largest gold and silver stockbroker in the world. When he retired, he had over 6,000 clients, and at the request of business associates and due to retirement boredom, he began writing The International Forecaster. Bob, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. It's very nice to be here.
Bob, just tell us a bit about yourself, please.
Oh, I'm just kind of a normal bloke. I went to university in Boston, where I grew up, and I worked in Army Counterintelligence for several years. I worked in the brokerage industry for 28 years, part of which I was a stockbroker and an owner of a firm. And I specialized in gold and silver shares. I retired about 20 years ago, and I decided that wasn't for me, so I started what is called theinternationalforecaster.com.
Okay.
And I've been doing that ever since, and we have subscribers all over the world. I do about probably 30, 35 radio programs a week, and I love it.
I understand, Bob, there's a web page that you've got. Do you want to just give that address out?
Oh, theinternationalforecaster.com.
Now, Bob, in your view, who's broken the world's financial system? I mean, where have the problems come from?
Well, I think the real nexus of the problems are in the Bank of England and in the City of London, as well as in New York City and with the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury. And they're the main culprits. If I had to assess more blame, it's hard because the derivative capital of the world is probably London, and they certainly have and will continue to lend some terrible events in the future. And on the other hand, we had a real estate super boom like England did, and they packaged the mortgages, securitized them into bonds, and sold them as AAA when in fact they were BBB, and 60% of those bonds were purchased in Europe, and they're now called toxic waste, and they've corrupted the balance sheets of the lenders, which are mostly banks and brokerage firms. And so these lenders, particularly the banks, and then later the brokerage firms, were using leverage of 30 to 60 to 1. And normally in fractional banking, a bank will lend $8 or $10 for each dollar that's on deposit that's deemed prudent. And that's not what they were doing. They went crazy. They turned the whole thing into a casino. And so the bankers and the brokerage firms and the private equity people, and to some extent the hedge funds who were great borrowers of money for these people, they all turned the whole world upside down financially.
Bob, do you believe there's a more sinister background to this? I mean, if I use the word Illuminati, would you believe in that?
Absolutely. I've been studying it for 50 years, and the answer is yes. Yes, it is. And that includes the black nobility of Europe, the Bilderberger Group, the Royal Institute in London, and then we have the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Group of 30, the Group of 300, and it goes on and on and on. And these people are all interconnected, whether they're in politics or in Wall Street or the City of London, and in banking or even in insurance and other transnational conglomerates.
And if you had to put a sort of definition on the Illuminati, I mean, how would you define it, Bob?
A group of people who have been connected with one another for over a century.
Okay. And is that the same?
And they brought about casino-like atmospheres in 1348 when the Lombard system collapsed in Venice. The Hanseatic League, which is Florence, collapsed in the early 1600s. Now, these people have been doing this for centuries. And when everything gets messed up, they have another war.
And is that the same as the Bilderberg Group? Or are the Bilderberg and the Illuminati, are they different agendas?
The Bilderberg Group is a conglomeration of people throughout the world who are highly connected within these groups. And if they are not top-line Illuminists, they're certainly in the second tier. Occasionally they invite people who are new because they want to sound them out if they want to run them politically, like Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
He was a guest at Bilderberger, and shortly thereafter he was president. And, they call the shots. And it's not only in the United States, it's in Europe.
Yes.
I mean, look at the mess you've got with Gordon Brown and his tribe of strange people, we'll put it that way.
Yeah.
And they're all quitting on him.
And, I mean, do you think their agenda's the same now as it was 20 years ago, or do you think is it changed, or?
Yes, it's the same. It's power, more wealth. Only this time what they're going for, by dismantling the monetary and fiscal and financial systems, is they want world government and they want a world currency, and this is what they're really after, and this is what they're working for this time.
Yeah. I mean, do you think the average individual has any idea what's sort of going on out there in today's
world? Not a clue.
No.
And that's why I go on these programs, and hopefully people will listen and look into them for themselves. There's lots of books on the subject, not only of the Illuminati, but the Bank of England, the Federal Reserve, the Exchequer, the Department of the Treasury. I mean, there's plenty there. Unfortunately, around the world today, about half the people who live in each country, and it varies from country to country, but about half of them are functionally illiterate.
Yeah.
And, you know, so what can you expect?
Yeah. Dumbed down is the word I might use. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's happened in every country.
Bob, do you think the Illuminati want to get the banks offshore? Because I hear a lot of talk about that a lot of money's been pulled out of the system and put into offshore banks. What's your view on that?
Well, I think the major advantage is no regulation. That's number one, and that's why derivatives are in the Caymans for the most part. And, you know, there are people throughout the world who don't trust their government, so they would like to keep their money in locations other than their own country.
Yeah.
That's why people use the different tax havens, and but that, you know, that is the main reason they use them.
Would you say that traders nowadays are moving away from stocks and sort of, you know, getting into gold and silver rather than other asset classes?
Well, I think they're playing both sides of the market, which would be the long side and the short side.
Yeah.
We've just seen a 40% run on the Dow Jones Industrial Average from 66 to 8,700. Not unusual. We saw that in 1932 as well. And I believe we're in a depression worldwide. And some countries are in it. Some countries aren't. They'll all be in it sooner or later. England's in it. Europe's in it. The U.S. is in it. And it's not going to be easy to get out of. And, you know, there's problems just simply abound, and they're all based upon the fact that banks, brokerage firms, used tremendous leverage. I mean, you know, historically it's 8 or 10 to 1 for every dollar in deposit. All of these banks and others were lending 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 times.
Yeah.
They turn the world into casino.
I mean, is there any money to be made from gold and silver nowadays, or is it just a good thing to invest in?
Well, just look at it this way. The market just had a great rally. I'm speaking of the United States, so I wouldn't be a buyer. I would be a seller or a shorter, one who bets that the stocks are going to go down. Because of what the U.S. is doing and the Federal Reserve doing, interest rates are going up, so you don't want to own bonds. Because bonds go down when interest rates go up. You don't want to buy real estate, and I don't have to make a picture of that. You all know it in England as well as in Spain, Ireland, and the United States. It's dreadful. So what is left? You got commodities. Most people don't understand them, don't know anything about them, and it's a dangerous game. So what do you do for wealth preservation? You buy gold and silver bullion, gold and silver coins, and gold and silver shares.
Talking about money, I mean, where's all the Bob? Where do you think the money's gone that's been pumped back into the system to slow down the collapse? I mean,
a good deal of it's going on bank balance sheets because the 19 banks in the United States, the major banks, they're all bankrupt.
Yeah,
and all this money was fed into them so that they wouldn't go down. And insurance companies are in trouble. Six of them in the U.S. had to get TARP funds of $1, 2, and 3 billion. I mean, I wouldn't want to have my insurance with the Hartford Financial. They just scoffed up $3 billion from the federal government and the state of Connecticut. I've been telling people to cash in their life policies that have cash balances and put it into gold and silver-related assets. And the same thing with annuities. They're all in the market. The only companies in the United States that are in bonds are the mutual insurance companies, the commercial insurance companies are all in the market, and all the pension plans are in the market. They're going to get killed. You remember what happened in 94 and 95 in England?
That's true. I mean, how can you spend your way out of it? That's the problem, though. I mean, you can only...
You can't spend your way. This is the Keynesian concept that was able to be worked when you had relatively small problems. Like when we had the Depression in the United States, and England had one as well,
yeah.
During the 1930s, they couldn't solve it, so they had to have another war. It's called war on demand. First thing I learned in counterintelligence when I went into there, they gave us a book called The War on Ether, and it explained in there how the British and the Americans had broken the Japanese diplomatic code. They knew everything the Japanese were doing. They knew they were on the way to bomb Pearl Harbor and do what they were going to do. And they let it happen because they wanted all into the war.
Yeah.
And at that point, my whole outlook on life changed. and I decided that governments lie to their population.
So you don't believe the media then?
Not one bit. That's why I have the International Forecaster,
yeah.
And that's why I do programs such as yours all over the world,
yeah,
to tell people that all is not right. You better start thinking outside the box. You better get into gold and silver, because it's the only thing that's going to save whatever assets you have.
Well, I mean, how in one hand can the media say that the economy is doing well, and on the other hand, look at all the bankruptcies going on?
Well, how can they say banks and insurance companies are solvent when they have to give them hundreds of billions of dollars?
Yeah.
It flies in the face of the reality. You're absolutely right. And why doesn't the media talk about that? Because the media is owned by these people.
Yeah. I mean,
at least in London, you get a variety of media. It's somewhat controlled. It all depends on, you know, where you're going. Is it the BBC or is it the Telegraph, etc.? Even in the Financial Times, which is the financial mouthpiece for the world, it's probably the best financial paper in the world. You remember G. Gordon Tether?
I've heard the name.
Well, he wrote the Lombard column. And during the 1970s, he became a friend of mine. And they fired him because he talked about what you and I are talking about right now. And they couldn't tolerate that. And he'd been there for years. He was in his early 60s when they canned him.
How do you feel about the bailouts? Do you actually oppose the bailouts, Bob?
Absolutely. Under our system of government in the United States, when companies go bankrupt, you allow them to go bankrupt. Whether it's GM, Chrysler, JP Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, and then of course we have Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns and Merrill Lynch. Let them go under.
But they've not done that, though, have they?
You know, what we've done, they have done, is extend the depression probably 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years. I mean, the debt that they've created, particularly in the United States and the UK, is colossal.
Yeah, it's huge.
I mean, who's going to pay it back?
Well, that's the problem, is it? Where's it going to come from? The amounts that are borrowed, I mean, these are just, you know, unthinkable amounts.
Well, the Federal Reserve, incidentally, which is a private corporation, just like the Bank of England is, they in the U.S. Treasury already in 22 months have created money and credit and issued bonds in the amount of $14.8 trillion. And that's just for openers, and they haven't solved anything. They tell us there's a recovery coming. Yeah, well, from their lips to God's ears.
Yeah.
They got to be kidding me. It's not going to work this time.
Are you saying, Bob, you see the recession or depression that we're in now? Do you see this lasting 20 years, did you say?
Yes, unless they have another international war, like a third world war, in which about half the people in the world get wiped out. And they might do that.
So you believe...
I think these people are insane. They're power mad.
Yeah. So you believe in population control? You believe that could be a possibility for population control then, yeah?
You have within these groups we spoke of earlier, the use of and the study of and the implementation of the use of genetics as well as population control. I'm against it, but they're for it. And even the royal family, Charles and his father both, have said that the world would be better off with less people. And so they would like to see perhaps two-thirds of the world population done away with.
Well, if they were going to do population control, I mean, how would they go about it, Bob?
Well, I think the wars are the simplest way, and the wars serve a number of purposes, and that's one of them. Their wars are very profitable, and they allow the elitists to have great control over the population, and it also allows them to get rid of divergent elements such as myself and people like who are on programs and write,
yeah,
about what these people are doing. They don't want us around, so it's an excuse to get rid of us.
Bob, in your opinion, do you think that the European governments then foresaw this collapse?
Well, let me tell you something strange that's gone on. And your listening audience can judge for themselves.
Okay.
60% of the toxic waste, the collateralized debt obligations that were securitized into bonds, were sold in Europe. The other 40%, for all intents and purposes, were in the U.S. Most of them because they couldn't sell them quickly enough, and the banks and brokerage firms and insurance companies and others got them on their books. Now, my question is, why has there not been either a civil lawsuit or a criminal lawsuit about the sale of those instruments? They were given AAA ratings by Moody's, Fitch, and S&P, when in reality their ratings were BBB. Now, anybody that's in finance knows that. Why haven't charges been brought against those three entities and all of the companies, banks, that worked in concert with them setting up these securitized packages of bonds and putting the ratings on them? Now, we haven't heard a peep out of Europe. And that tells me that they knew they were buying garbage in the first place. And I think they were part of an effort to take down the financial system, to bring Europeans, Brits, Americans, and Canadians financially to their knees so that they would want to or have to accept world government.
So you believe in the idea of a one world government then?
I believe in the opposite. I believe in freedom. And a one world government is not freedom.
No, what I meant there, Bob, is you believe in the theory that they're working towards a one-world government.
It's not a theory. It's proven.
Yeah.
Just read Foreign Affairs from the Council on Foreign Relations. They tell you in there all the time. I've been a subscriber since 1960. And they let you know exactly what they're going to do. They think the public doesn't read their publication. Well, some of us do. And they're arrogant. And they think everything that they're going to do is going to work, and it's not.
But then, you know, Bob, in the press over here, in the past 4 months, the word "one world government" has appeared quite regularly in newspapers.
It's about time,
you know, and
that's because of programs like yours. We get shortwave, we get AM/FM, we get satellite. And we got the internet. They can't stop us unless they shut it all down.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing programs on ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox. I've already done three of them today. I'll do four, plus I'll do my regular programming of three others. So I'll do about 7 hours of programming today, plus write. And that is why the word is getting out. They can't stop it, and they don't know how to deal with it. 5 years ago, they would have never let me on. In fact, my publicist is working right now with Clear Channel to have me on either with Michael Savage or Sean Hannity. I mean, they wouldn't even have thought of talking to me a year ago.
No.
But this is hot news, and the media cannot ignore it anymore. The longer they do, the more advertising they're going to lose, the more listeners they're going to lose. And look at the newspapers. They're going under one after another. New York Times, on the edge of the precipice.
It's unheard
of. People are sick of being lied to.
Yeah.
And not telling the truth. And the media still is not telling the truth. They're letting a little bit of it seep in. It's not good enough. The public wants the truth. The public get the truth. The game is over for the Illuminists. Everybody will discover what they've done, that they've been hiding these many years. And they'll probably bring civil and criminal charges against them, if they're lucky. Because if you're in the middle of a depression, whether you're in Europe or the United States, and you've got 35% unemployment, incidentally, real unemployment in the United States right now is 19.2%. If you get that situation, you're liable to have an unruly population. And in America, it cannot be controlled even by the military.
No.
And all I can say is they better get back into French history and read about Madame Lafarge and her friend Robespierre. They took 300,000 heads. The American public is not going to be as forgiving.
No, I mean, Bob, what's going to happen when people haven't got jobs and they can't feed their families? What's going to happen?
They'll have a revolution. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
And it's not only America. We've got subscribers all over the world. And I get the same feedback from all of them. We're ready for revolution in our country, whether it's Kazakhstan or Latvia or Colombia or Chile or wherever. The whole world is upside down and it's getting worse.
Would you say, though, Bob, that the recession that we're currently find ourselves in now has been sort of developing for the past 10 years?
Well, they don't want to face the fact, and this is normal, that times are difficult and they're going to get more difficult. It's human nature to take the easiest path, even when told what's going on, the truth. 9 out of 10 people you tell, well, I don't believe that, or you're a conspiracy theorist, or you're wrong. Well, let me tell you something. In my publication for 20 years, I've been right 95% of the time. In the last 10 years, I've been right 98% of the time at everything I've predicted. So there are people out there who are right, and I'm one of them. And if the people out there don't want to listen and they want to lose their assets, that's fine by me.
Yeah.
You bring the horse to the trough and if the horse doesn't want to drink, that's okay.
Yeah.
He can get dehydrated and die. Well, in the case of human beings, they lose their wealth. They lose their jobs. They lose their home. They lose their cars. They live under a bridge. Good luck.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's people in the UK that say that, we should have joined the euro a long time ago. But now, there's others that say, well, we're now a liability to Europe as a country.
Well, first of all, you are a liability to Europe. Second of all, the euro is a disaster. I know England has their own problems, but so does Europe. And the European Central Bank connects with the other central banks of the world, and they're all doing the same thing. The European Central Bank increase in money supply is 6.4%. In London, in England right now, it's 17.4%. United States, it's 18%. They just keep on creating money and credit. So we all got problems. Where the European Union went wrong and the Eurozone went wrong, the 16 members of the Eurozone out of the 28 or 29 that's in the EU, first of all, the EU doesn't have a constitution. And they may never have one. The Lisbon Treaty has been rejected twice. And now they're trying to force Ireland to accept it. Ireland is in terrible financial condition right now. And they went ahead when they shouldn't have, and they created the euro and parts of the eurozone and the ability to cross from one country to another and work, which has almost exclusively not even happened because of cultural differences, which will never be mounted. I mean, it's like taking 175 tribes and putting them under one leader and saying everybody's going to agree, after 8,000 years of civilization, never happened. But the key to the failure of the Eurozone was one interest rate for all currencies, all countries. That's where they went wrong. That's why Ireland and Spain went off the deep end and leveraged to the eyeballs, and now their societies are collapsing. Whereas those kind of interest rates were okay for Holland, Germany, and France, etc. So that's where they made their big mistake.
Yeah.
And it's irreversible. I think that the European Union is going to break up. And I wouldn't, if I was in Britain, I wouldn't want any part of it.
Well, you could say the same for the States, in a sense, couldn't you? I mean, obviously, it's heading for collapse. Couldn't it break up as well?
Absolutely. No. You know, I was talking about Europe, but the United States, sure, they could break up as well, and become the many states of America or the sovereign states of America. When you allow somebody else to run your monetary and fiscal affairs, and you have one currency like the euro, you got a problem because you have lost your sovereignty, and you have no say, practically speaking, about what goes on in your country monetarily. And that's a disaster. You know, whether you live in the Bahamas or Montevideo or Mexico City, you don't want somebody else running your financial affairs.
Okay, Bob, we're going to take a break there, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To connect with the show, email kevin@themoreshow.co.uk.
Around. She said, I am the one.
listening to The Moore Show. And here's your host, Kevin Moore.
Welcome back. I'm joined with Bob Chapman, author of The International Forecaster. Bob, I've got to ask you about GM Motors. Now, it's the, I believe it's the America's biggest, one of America's biggest bankruptcy cases right now. Do you believe that the government forced GM into bankruptcy?
Absolutely.
Why have they then allowed it to be sold to foreign countries?
Well, you have to go back to the early 1960s and GATT, which became in 1986 the World Trade Organization. And then you have to get the thinking behind the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati. What they wanted to do is befriend both Europe and the United States of manufacturing and send it to the Third World. So in the United States, they started in 1980 making plans to manufacture in places like India, China, and Mexico. And this was a deliberate attempt to destroy the three major automobile manufacturers, split them up, and send the jobs someplace else. And that's exactly what's happened. They've ripped the industrial heart out of the United States.
I mean, you know, talking about the motor industry, I mean, isn't that one of the main problems, Bob? Is that we were, you know, as countries, we import too much, and there's not enough exporting going on, not enough manufacturing going on.
Well, you still have it in the continent, but United States and England, and now even Canada is losing a great many jobs, and so it's per their plan. They want to de-industrialize those countries in Europe eventually as well.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they want to have those people work in service kinds of industries and buy their things from what used to be the Third World. It's a great leveling of humanity. It's a great social experiment. I first wrote about it in the American Mercury in 1967. And everybody thought I was insane. I explained how they were going to do it. Bring the UK, Europe, Canada, and the United States down to a third world level. And that's what they're in the process of doing. That way they can control them.
What countries are doing well right now, Bob? Is there any countries that sort of stand out to you that are doing pretty well in the recession?
Well, I think Norway is. You know, they have that very large amount of oil revenue, and they've invested very prudently, and so they're doing pretty well. The Swiss are doing reasonably well, but I don't like the idea of them going in the market and monetizing corporate bonds and saying that if our franc gets too expensive, we're going to knock it down. I don't think that's very smart. Canada, I think, should do reasonably well. They have a relatively small population, and I think they can handle their problems.
Yeah.
Probably in Australia, too, because they're a great exporter of base metals and coal and things like that, which China needs and they're nearby. And so I think they will probably do reasonably well.
Do you think, Bob, that the sort of collapse of the financial system was in part caused by the housing market collapse?
Well, I think it was the catalyst, but, you know, you've got to go back to the dot-com boom, which the Federal Reserve did nothing to stop. In December of 95, Greenspan called it irrational exuberance, and all he had to do was raise the rates for margin. The margin rates of 50%, they've been there since the Depression. And all he had to do is raise them to 60%, and he would have broke the back of that crazy market. And he didn't do that because Wall Street and banking work with the Fed, and they wanted all that money, and they made fortunes upon fortunes. And so we had a spiraling, we'll call it, out of, and incidentally, I call the top of that market in the first week of April of 2000, got everybody out and got them into gold and silver-related assets.
Yeah.
But in order to rectify the situation, they said, what can we do next? Well, I guess we've got to make the real estate market move, and that's what they did. You know, 60 times fractional banking. They did the same thing in the brokerage industry in the United States. Every fiduciary was gambling. It's just like a vast casino. Who allowed that to happen? Who has the oversight? The privately owned Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
They were in on it. They made it happen. And here, these are the guys that are supposedly fixing things.
Bob, what sort of advice would you give to the hardworking families in these situations today that we face? I mean, is a career change a good idea, do you think?
Well, if you're out of a job, maybe.
Yeah.
I think you got to go where you can get work. And I know it might be injurious to your ego, but... there's lots of people who are working on Wall Street making $500,000 a year who are now making $25,000 a year as waiters.
Yeah.
And that's going to happen to a lot of people. So you should be very, very flexible if you're out of a job. And if you see a job's going to be lost, start looking right away, because maybe you'll be lucky enough to get something good that'll last rather than have to become a busboy or a waiter or a garbage collector.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this is the way this whole thing is headed.
Well, that's...
If you want to preserve a wealth, you've got the only place that you're going to be able to preserve it is in gold and silver bullion, coins, and shares. And that's it. There is no place else to go.
Okay, we've mentioned this earlier on, but I mean, I've got to mention it again. I mean, how bad could things get, Bob?
Well... I see a number of demonstrations in the UK and a lot of them in Europe, and I think there's going to be massive disruption.
Yeah.
How out of hand it'll get, I don't know. And you're going to see it all over the world. And this time the Illuminists have bit off too much, and at the Bilderberger meeting 3 weeks ago, they said, look, this thing is spiraling out of control. We got to bring this thing back. And they can't do it. It's beyond their ability to stop. So there's going to be terrible disruption. So you know where to put your wealth. Put in extra food, particularly dehydrated and freeze-dried foods if you can get it. Make sure you get a water filter. And try to help your family and friends. Try to make them understand what's going on.
Right.
And that's what we're doing in the United States. Of course, the United States, everybody is buying weapons. You can't do that.
No,
you've been disarmed. Only the criminals have weapons in the United Kingdom.
That's right.
Along with the police, but you very often can include them with the criminals as well, in all countries, that is.
Okay.
And so it's not a good picture.
Bob, how badly would you say Russia and China have been affected by the global recession? Because obviously, China's heavily invested in the U.S. dollar.
About $1.5 trillion. China's got its own set of problems. How would you like to have, in the last year, an increase of 30 million people unemployed? They got a program going right now, $578 billion, plus enough extra credit to take it to $1.2 trillion, and they're ramming it into the economy all at once to keep the growth rate at 8%, because the new people coming into the workforce are going to overwhelm it if they don't do that. China's got monumental population problems. They've always had them, and they always will. And so China, who are they going to export to if the rest of the world's in depression? Nobody. So they got a problem. Now, Russia's not a big exporter except for oil. Russia probably will do okay.
Right.
China's got lots of problems. The rest of the world is, everybody has problems in varying degrees. There'll be a lot of revolutions, a lot of governments are going to get overthrown, a lot of people are going to die. And if they pull another world war, I wouldn't want to be them, because after what America's gone through in Iraq and Iran, Iraq and Afghanistan, probably Pakistan, Korea and Vietnam before that, the American public are not going to stand for it.
Would you say, Bob, that we're a third of the way into the problem, or are we just at the tip of the iceberg?
No, I think between a third and 40% would be fair. The worst two-thirds, we've got to go. And we're going to be living like we did in the 1940s and 50s. And for those of you who are alive like I was, you can look back and say, my gosh, I don't want to go through that again. And but that's the way it's going to be, and that's if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Pensions are going to get torn up. Social Security is going to get torn up. People are going to be desperate.
What do you think, Bob, of the idea of having money in the bank versus paying off debt for people out there listening right now?
Well, I would continue to pay debt off, but I wouldn't keep money in the bank except for operational purposes. And any extra money that you don't need in the bank should go into gold and silver-related assets. You do not want to have money in the bank. The banks go under.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think the Bank of America, a Bank of England, is going to be able to bail out the whole country? I don't think so.
No.
And they've made a mess out of it. In fact, the auditors who went over those banks were just given bonuses. You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
They missed all of those facts in all those corrupt, bankrupt institutions. They all were told to look the other way. They're getting paid off for not exposing it earlier.
What's the most important issue on the economy front right now, would you say?
Well, the fact that we're in a depression.
Yeah.
And it is not getting better, no matter how much money they pour into it.
Would you have any advice for...
I mean, the Bank of England didn't raise interest rates today, nor did the European Central Bank.
No.
Bank of England is increasing the money supply at 17.4%. They don't have to lower interest rates anymore. They're flooding the economy with money.
Yeah.
Why don't they get helicopters and just drop it out of the helicopter and give it to people to spend? Dumber than dumb.
Well, much like the stimulus package, the check stimulus in the U.S., yeah, much like that.
Yeah, it's a waste.
Yeah, yeah.
My wife and I get checks for $250 each. I went and bought gold coins. But
yeah.
Then again, I don't owe anybody anything.
No, no.
I don't even have credit cards.
No. I mean, do you think...
Do everything with cash. That's what everybody else should be doing.
Right. Well,
bypass the system.
That's a very good point. That's a good point. I mean, do you think it could get to a stage, Bob, where, you know, these people have got credit card debt, they've got loan debt. You know, do you think it get to a point where the government says, "Well, look, you know, enroll in the army, enroll in this, and we'll wipe your debt off."
Could be. Governments do some strange things, and governments can do anything they want. The only thing is when they push it too far, then they got a problem. People say, no, that's enough. We're going to chop your heads off.
Yeah.
And that's how revolutions start.
Yeah, yeah. And just for the listeners out there, what advice would you give to anyone that's setting up a new business right now and that's very nervous in getting in the market? What advice would you give to them, depending on what market they're in? But
look, you stay out of the stock market except for gold and silver shares. You stay out of the bond market. You stay out of real estate. If you're in it, you deal with it as best you can.
Yeah.
The only safe place for money is in gold-related assets.
Okay.
Incidentally, we have a lot of subscribers in the United Kingdom.
Yeah, and for our UK listeners, your website is again www.internationalforecaster.com.
Well, they can go and get a free introductory copy.
Yep.
And so they can take a look at it. They like it, they can subscribe. You know, it's not getting yourself safe. It's knowing when to sell what you've got. And we're pretty good at that. So that's why you need that. And all the news that you're not getting will be in there. Everything you need to know.
Okay, Bob, look, my final question is, you know, what's the answer to get us out of this economic recession or depression that we're in?
It's very simple. You have to go back to classical economics. The system has to purge itself of its excesses. And that means that banks and brokerage firms and insurance companies and big corporations and little businesses have got to go out of business. And that's just the way it is. And there's no other way. And all of this fol-de-rol that these people at the Bank of England and the Federal Reserve are going through is only extending the timeline. And it's going to be worse when we get there. They should have faced this thing down immediately. But being Keynesians, instead of classical economists, they didn't do that. And they're going to have to do it sooner or later. The system has got to be purged.
Well, Bob Chapman, thank you so much for joining us today.
Anytime you want, I'm happy to do it.
To find out more information on Bob Chapman, just go to my website, which is themoreshow.co.uk, and look up Bob Chapman under Past Guests. Now, don't forget you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter to find the latest updates on the shows. And that we have a TV show which goes out on Sky 201 and Freesat 403 every Friday from 6 p.m. So until next time, thanks for listening.